Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is Bob Inyar, America's most popular, self-proclaimed, right-wing, religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Hey, today, we thought today would be Indiana Day. So if you're from Indiana, well, anyone could call us. But we're going to take news from Indiana today and try to figure out what in the world is going on with that state. All right, there's an article. Now, this is all, none of this is coming off the internet. This is actual mail from listeners in Indiana. This here, now listen to it. See, that's proof that it's not from Indiana. This here is, which newspaper here? Indianapolis Star. And this is a program with a government grant to try to fight drug dealers. And they're going to do it by giving away free hot dogs. Free hot dogs. All right. Okay, now, I'm not making that up. We'll get to that story in a moment. They're going to try to fight. They're going to be fighting drug dealers in Indiana by giving away free hot dogs. And then here we have another priest accused of sexual abuse of a minor. And this here, the one priest apparently has been accused, but he's going to give his last mass this Sunday. And he's going to deliver, yeah, he'll give the homily. That's good. And then we've got a couple Democratic lawmakers who are up in Gary, Indiana, and they were arrested for basically, well, it's a funny story. The two lawmakers and some of their friends were protesting a cell phone store because the one guy wanted his money back, and they wouldn't give his money back, $25. And so they got a group together and they started picketing the store. And the two lawmakers ended up getting arrested. Now, what's going on in Indiana? This is one, hey, you guys in Indiana, this is one weird state you got going there. Our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I'm going to be in Indiana, and I'm really looking forward to it, at the Grace Church on the southeast side of downtown Indianapolis. And we're going to be doing a Does God Exist seminar on Saturday, August 24th. August 24th. And we're real excited about it. It'll be from 9 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. And it'll cost $20 per person at the door in advance. If you'd like more information, I'll give you a phone number. This is an Indianapolis phone number, 317-486-8203. You can ask for David, and that's 317-486-8203. So I'll be coming to Indianapolis. So I don't want you guys to think I've got anything against Indiana. Of course not. I lived there for a couple of years. But here we go. I'm going to start with the free hot dogs to fight drug dealers. All right, from now on a near east side neighborhood, that's near east side in Indianapolis, they'll be chasing away drug dealers with a hot dog cart. This is an actual government program. All right, this is the Brookside Neighborhood Association has just received a $4,300 grant from the local government, $4,300, to implement a drug elimination program. Now, this is how we would eliminate drug dealers. You wouldn't need $4,300 necessarily. How much does a bullet cost? I'm asking the people in the studio audience. How much does a bullet cost? Depending on what kind of gun. 5 cents? If it's a .22, you might have to use a few of them. Anyway, you got drug dealers. It's easy to eliminate them, but this is how they're going to do it. The money will be used to buy a hot dog cart, which the association will set up near drug houses, like crack houses, where people go to buy their drugs, to give away hot dogs. The theory is that traffic to the free food will deter buyers and sellers from buying illegal drugs at that location. Now, how's that for a government program? That's a good one. That's really a good one. And you got, you know, some questions come to mind immediately. Like, well, if the guy buying the hot dog cart knows where the crack house is, why don't the cops? What, are crack houses legal in Indianapolis? Maybe the lawmakers who got arrested for protesting the cell phone store up in Gary, Indiana, maybe they should go south a few hours and protest, get some picket signs and protest at these crack houses. Apparently, the neighborhood association knows where the crack houses are. If you know where the crack house is, how stupid do the Indianapolis cops have to be that they can't arrest the people for dealing drugs? You see, what's happened is our war on drugs is not a war on drugs. It's just a bureaucracy. That's it. We don't have any desire to win the war on drugs. And however many thousands of people die every year from drug-related crime and death, you know, so be it. It's just part of the bureaucracy. How many people die every year just from DUIs? Alcohol is a drug, of course. But how many people die from drunk drivers, DUIs? Well, it's over 16,000 a year. 16,000 a year. You know how many executions you could have and still save 15,000 lives a year? Man, you could have a lot of executions and still save 15,000 lives a year, counting the executions, without any difficulty. All right, so what if the guy buying the hot dog cart, if he could know where the crack house is, come on, what's going on? 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Why don't the Indianapolis cops know where the crack houses are? Why doesn't the mayor get out there and say, arrest these people? What's going on? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I guess the prosecutors and the judges and the lawmakers and the mayor and the cops want the crack houses to stay open. That's the only possible conclusion I can come up with. Hey, Bob Enyart here. I get to pastor Denver Bible Church, and that's one of the most enjoyable things in my life. And boy, the neatest thing about our church is the families. Strong families. And nowadays, today, the hardest thing to do is to raise kids in today's world. Kids are disrespectful, they're unhappy, you know, just all the problems. And the kids at Denver Bible Church, they're not perfect kids. They're not Stepford kids. They're normal kids, but they're so neat. Virtually all of them are homeschooled. They're sharp, intelligent. We got so many leaders among the kids, just neat kids. And if you live in the Denver area, now you might not, and we've got a suggestion for you too, but if you live in the Denver area and you've got kids or grandkids you're concerned about, come on by and visit Denver Bible Church Sunday morning or Sunday night. You can call us, call the show and get information from our call screener how to get there, 1-888-8-NYART. You can do that or look us up on the web. If you don't live in the Denver area, you want some help with raising kids or something to help with grandkids, you can call us up, 1-888-836-9278, and order the To Train Up a Child kit. You get the To Train Up a Child book by Michael and Debbie Pearl. sold hundreds of thousands of copies, and audio tape from Denver Bible Church sermons on raising kids. So if you're in the Denver area, come on out and visit us. If you're further away, visit us on the web, denverbiblechurch.org. Hey, and then I'd like to tell you about a call I got today from Idaho. You know, last week we got a call from Ida from Idaho. That was fun. Today, Jody from Idaho. And I tell you, it's so encouraging to hear from people who are just brand new, just finding out about this ministry. And the first thing they did was get both these ladies, get the plot audio tapes. Because we've got the plot, an overview of the whole Bible, the plot and the tree. Jody called this morning. I don't know if she was up all night or what. She must have called at 6:45 in the studio. We happen to be here. No, it wasn't that early. It was really early. And she was just so thankful that we're making these available, these tapes. If you're new to the show, call us 1-888-8-NUR. All right, so I guess the entire government wants crack houses to operate because even if they know where they are and they've been in business for so long that they're targeted by the local hot dog guy. All the neighbors know their crack houses. The neighborhood association, the Brookside Neighborhood Association, knows where the crack houses are. The hot dog guy knows. So I guess the Indianapolis Police Department and the prosecutor in Indianapolis, the district attorney, the city council, and the mayor, they must want the crack houses to stay open, best I can figure it. And you know what? There might be a few more people who want the crack houses to stay open, like, the Congress in Washington and the federal judiciary, they help drug dealers stay in business. And Congress helps drug dealers stay in business. And even the White House, you know, they have a drug czar. I don't know what he does. Maybe regulates the price of aspirins because he's sure not winning the war on drugs. That's just a part of our culture, war on drugs. When you fight a war, you're supposed to try to win it. And now that's the scary thing about the war on terror. Just become part of our culture. We'll have a new federal department, Department of Terror. Yeesh, what a mess. All right, now I want to continue with the baloney story in Indianapolis, but first we're going to take a call. Our number 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. We're going to Aurora, Colorado. Is this Keisha?
Keisha.
Hi, Keisha.
Hi. I go to a public school.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering what's wrong with them.
What's wrong with... Well, what grade are you in?
10th.
You're in 10th grade. I went to public school also, Keisha. And you've grown up in the Denver area?
Yes.
Can I ask what high school? Do you go to Gateway?
Yeah.
You know, I looked into Gateway High School a few years back, and we were checking out the number of students that were pregnant. Did you ever see any students there that are pregnant?
I know two of them.
Two of them, are they like in a classes you take or?
They're in one of my classes.
Two pregnant girls in one of the classes?
Yeah.
Yeah. A few years ago when I checked into this, I think it was, well, actually, maybe it was about 9 years ago. In 1 year, there were 80 babies born at Gateway High School to students. 80 babies. How many students go to Gateway? Do you know? It used to be, Keisha, that kids would go to school and they would learn so much academically. In America, they would really be brilliant. By the time they were in eighth grade, they knew pretty much more than most college seniors know. Used to be, 100 years ago. And they also were moral, so that the average girl going to a government school 100 years ago was not having sex. But today, it seems to be that so many of them are having sex. Would you agree with that?
I would agree, but doesn't that happen in like in other places too, like some private schools? And
well, yes, some, but the really good Christian schools, it pretty much doesn't happen. There's right here near our studio. We're in an underground bunker here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and there are two Christian schools that have 1,000 or so kids each within about a mile of our studio. And I'm familiar with the one because my kids have gone there on and off for years. We homeschool, but our kids have gone to that school. And they had never heard of a single girl pregnant. Now, it could happen because a lot of public school families get so sick of the utter failure of the public schools, and they take their kids out of public schools and they put them in the Christian schools. And so then the kids come into the Christian schools trying to sell drugs and get people to join gangs and have sex. But it used to be, Keisha, you're growing up where to you this is all normal. And it shouldn't be normal. Kids are ruining their lives before they're 18 years old. Do you know kids whose lives are pretty miserable?
No.
You don't?
Well, the pregnant girls, I would guess that their pretty lives are pretty miserable.
That's pretty rough, right? When you're not even, how old would they be? They're 10th graders, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, have you heard of Adams City High School in Commerce City?
Yeah, I have.
Adams City. I used to be on an oversight committee for that high school. And in 1 year, they had 108 babies born to the girls at Adams City High School in 1 year. And the girls that you know that are pregnant in the class that you take, if the baby's sick and needs to be rushed to the hospital, they might not even be able to drive. They might not even have a car. They might not be able to afford diapers. They're kids having babies. And so their lives, along with the other 80 at Gateway High School in that 1 year, along with 108 lives ruined up in Adams City High School in that 1 year, but then add all the babies. Add the 108 babies that were born in 1 year because their lives are starting out as a complete failure, being born to a mom who's not married. They don't have dads. Mom doesn't even have a driver's license. She can't even take him to the doctor if he gets sick, the baby. So, Keisha, what's going on is young people growing up in America's government schools, they think that misery is normal life. And so they say, well, this is pretty good. The drugs that our friends do, the getting drunk, the sleeping around.
Evolution.
Evolution. They teach evolution, right?
Yes.
They teach that we came from monkeys. Do you think you came from a monkey?
No.
No, that's good. I'm glad you don't. I'm glad you know you didn't. You know, the Nazis, you know about the Nazis?
Yes.
The Nazis, the Germans who hated the Jews, they thought that they had come from monkeys. They thought that they were really just animals, that there was no God. They just evolved from fish and then from monkeys. And as far as they were concerned, the Jews must have evolved from some other animal, and they didn't like Jews, so they thought they could kill them because there's no God, and we're just animals anyway, and animals kill other animals. And Gateway High School is teaching thousands of kids that they're just animals, that they've evolved from slime. And, you know, if we're just animals, think about dogs. Dogs don't have high moral standards. You know, and so a girl growing up in the Aurora school system, by the time she gets to 10th grade, 11th, forget 12th, She's been taught she's an animal, and we're surprised when the boys treat her like an animal, and she has such a low self-esteem that she lets some number of boys use her as though she were an animal. And Keisha, you seem to know a bit about right and wrong, but you would call up to defend that system. Why wouldn't you criticize it?
Well, I mean, I would, but it's like a lot of kids at Gateway High School that are pretty good. Like I used to go to this club. It was a Bible club.
Cool.
Because a lot of Christians were there.
Yeah.
And you know, we seemed to do pretty good. I mean, it was usually after school, you know. But
right, right. Well, Keisha, let's say there's the most evil place in the world, wherever it is. And then, well, let's say Nazi Germany, all right? Nazi Germany was a real evil place, atheist, evolutionist, socialist, liberal. They hated God, and they killed a lot of innocent people. But there were some Christians who were operating within Nazi Germany, and they had Bible studies and prayer meetings, and they worshiped the Lord. But they didn't say, hey, because we're here, Nazi Germany is a good place. In other words, if you're doing something good within Gateway by trying to reach people with the truth, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that doesn't mean that the godless school that you go to is good. Would you agree with that description of Gateway, that it's part of a godless education system?
Yes, I would.
And do you think, just based on that, if you knew nothing else about it, is a godless education system a good thing or a bad thing?
It's bad.
Right. The Gateway is a bad school.
So how would I get, it's a blunt question, but how would I get out of a public school situation in an environment where a godly education is being taught?
Well, it might be hard for you. It depends, of course, on your parents and your age. Now, Keisha, you and I have never spoken, right?
Right.
So I don't know you from anyone else.
I've always wanted to talk to you, though, because you seem like you're an expert at issues like this. But
well, that's real kind of you. You have a mom and a dad that live at home?
I have a mom.
You have a mom. Now, I'd like my call screener to come in here and tell the audience the word that I wrote on a piece of paper before I asked you the question. All right, he's coming in. His name is Nathaniel. Nathaniel, what word did I write down and hold up to you before Keisha answered the question?
Yeah, you wrote down broken.
Broken. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Nathaniel.
Okay.
All right. Keisha, that's the first time in all these years our call screener ever spoke on the show. Broken. Why would I guess that you came from a broken family?
I don't have both my parents.
Yeah, but why did I guess that and write it down before you said it?
I go to a public school.
Well, a public school. A lot of the kids who live in Aurora who go to private schools, a lot of their families are intact and together. Could you hold on, Keisha?
Okay.
Thanks so much. Hey, Bob Enyart here. This is a live commercial break. We're in the middle of the show, and this spot only goes out to people listening on the internet. So people listening to the radio in Denver, KLTT, Rochester, New York, South Bend, Indiana, Springfield, Massachusetts, they can't hear this spot. So this is a bit more intimate, a bit more private. And this is where typically I thank the people who tune in to the show over the internet, because for one, it's a bit more effort required than just turning on your radio. And two, it's the internet people who are really helping to keep Bob Enyart Live growing as a ministry. Thank you very much for your help and your support. You know, my wife and I, we're not independently wealthy, And so we can't just fund Bob and Yurt Live. We can't do it. Just the airtime alone each month, I think now I'm not the accountant, I don't pay the bills, but I think it's approaching $4,000 a month just for airtime. Ah, we're dying. Well, we're not dying, we're on the air. But we need your help to keep this growing. So if you can call us whenever, 1-888-8-N-YART, and either help us with a monthly donation. Say, I'd like to donate so many dollars a month automatically off a credit card. I'd like to order the monthly Bible study. That's just a great way to help out, because then we even like that more than a monthly donation. I mean, the donation is just cash, and that's real helpful. But with the monthly Bible study for $24.95 a month, then the Bible message is getting out to more people around the country. And people often share tapes. And they give their tapes to their friends, neighbors, relatives, enemies. They say, here, hey, you told me you're a homosexual? Here, listen to this tape. It's fun. And we win people to the Lord. And we help people get their families together, and their lives together, their careers together, their homes together. Because if God made us, he knows how we're supposed to work. So you could order our monthly Bible study tapes, our monthly sermons that I have the honor of giving at Denver Bible Church. And, of course, we've got so many videos, enjoyable videos, and albums, audio tape albums teaching through the Bible. We've got one called Nicer Than God. It's a kick. It's a kick. We talk about how the Christian church today teaches us we're supposed to be so nice, we're supposed to be nicer than God. So call us, 1-888-8-N-YART. You can help us. We hope we can help you. And together, we'll fight the enemy. Now we're back, and I'm going to go back to the phone in just a moment. 1-800-8-N-YART. You know, that doesn't work quite as well as it did when we were on TV. When I would ask a question and I would write the answer down before the question was answered. Sometimes I'd write the answer before I asked the question. And then I would fold up the paper on TV and hold it right in front where the camera could see it the whole time. Then I'd ask the question, then would unfold it. And then the audience could see that. But of course on radio, they can't see it, right? They can't see it. But anyway, let's go to Keisha. So, Keisha,
yes.
So many kids that go to Gateway grow up in are living in broken families. And the number one risk factor, according to the Census Bureau, the number one risk factor of whether somebody's going to have a successful life or a failed life is whether there's a dad at home. There's a dad at home. That's the number one risk factor. More than any other demographic or consideration. And when you have so many millions of families, marriages ending in divorce, and since so many girls in high school and in college are willing to have sex outside of marriage, it was just reported in the media this week, this very week, a survey was done where they were asking young men why they were so hesitant to get married. Because today, if a young woman wants to get married, it's pretty hard because so many men don't want to get married. And they said, why? It used to be men wanted to get married. Today, they don't. And they asked the men an overwhelming, do you know, what would you guess was the number one overwhelming reason? You want to guess?
Because they already had sexual intercourse.
Their number one reason they gave is because it was so easy to get sex. So easy to get sex. So the loose women out there who are sleeping around, the girls in high school and college, they don't realize it, but they're hurting other girls. They're hurting other women that they don't know. Even godly women or responsible women. Because they're teaching the men in Aurora that it's okay to sleep around. And You know, the saying they've said for generations now is, why buy the cow when the milk is free? And so guys realize, you know, why should I make a commitment for life? I could just get sex on a Friday night, no problem. And so the loose women who are living more like tramps than like ladies, they're ruining all the young guys in Aurora. They're all getting messed up.
But how can they let that happen?
Who? The Gateway High School principal?
Yeah.
Here's my experience. This is what I think. You could tell me, maybe I'm totally wrong. But I've been in many meetings, Board of Education meetings, private meetings with the principals of public high schools, the district administrators, superintendents, all that. And it's my observation that they think it's okay when kids have sex. As long as they'll say, well, try to make sure you use a condom, but they think it's okay. They don't condemn it. They don't ridicule it. They don't try to stigmatize it. They think it's okay. Now, do you think I'm way out of whack with that?
No.
All right, and I think an adult who somehow puts across the idea that it's okay for kids to have sex, I think that adult is so despicable that if our government was good, that adult would be arrested and punished for contributing to the delinquency of minors. But today, the lawyers, the judges, the administrators in the media, Hollywood, they think it's fine for kids to have sex. And that's why I call them child sex advocates. That's what they are. Because, you know, kids are so neat and have such tremendous potential. Kids, you could raise kids and they could be so strong morally and so intelligent and leaders. Or you could raise them like animals, and by the time they're 18, most of them are already losers. They're disrespectful. They hate themselves. They're miserable. That's my experience looking at today's kids.
And that's going to be the trouble with the next generation?
Right. Exactly. And you're part of it. And what God wants from you, Keisha, is that you don't go down the same hole, that you find a way to overcome your circumstances. So is there any way that your mom would consider letting you be homeschooled?
I don't know.
You know,
do your parents have to teach you when you're homeschooled?
Well, unless you have initiative. If you have initiative, you can get the entire curriculum on a few CD-ROMs for about maybe $200. And you can do it yourself with your mom maybe checking on you once in a while, make sure you're doing the work. Or you can do it over the internet with a few CD-ROMs, and you do it over the internet. That's what we do at our family. And the teacher is off on the internet somewhere, and they grade your work every single day. And if you're smart, you could usually get done in 3 hours. But, you know, the government says you have to spend 4 hours. So then you spend the fourth hour sort of reading for the public school students and teachers in the newspaper who've committed crimes that week. That's what you do for the fourth hour. But do you think your mom would be open to the idea?
I think she would.
Well, you know what? I would like to, when we get off... When we're off the air here, I'd like to talk to you off the air and make it so that you can contact us again so that we can find out if she lets you do that.
Thank you.
I'd really like that, Keisha. So could I put you on hold, and then the call screener will either get your number or give you a number to call us back on later?
Okay.
All right, Keisha, thank you so much.
All right.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye. All right, pretty neat. Pretty neat. And what a kid, 10th grade, and starting out asking Bob, why are you saying public schools are bad? There's a lot of good kids in public schools. Yeah, there's some good kids in public schools. And there were some good kids in Nazi Germany. Just not all that many of them. Not all that many of them. And the good kids, the Christian kids who go to public school, they become pregnant at the same rate, if they're females, at the same rate as the non-Christian kids, as far as I can tell. And they get abortions at the same rate as the non-Christian girls. Yeah, and they try out lesbianism at the same rate as the non-Christian girls, at least bisexuality. That's the fad in high school across America. That's the fad. Experimenting for girls with bisexuality. And you know what they call it? They call it bi-curious. They say they're bi-curious. What percentage of public high school girls are bi-curious or experiment with lesbianism during their high school years? What percentage? I wonder if there's anybody out there that I don't have a number for that, but I would like somebody to, maybe a few of you, help me out with a guess, an observation. What do you think? 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. All right, so I guess we got the hot dog story from Indianapolis. And that's the latest government program in Indianapolis. The latest way to fight the war on drugs is to buy a hot dog cart and give away free hot dogs. Free hot dogs. You know, some people in the Near East Side in Indianapolis, they might try to lure a crack house nearby so they could get free hot dogs every day. You never know. It's, you know, the law of unintended consequences. When you get creative, sometimes you're shocked at what actually happens. Then we've got this. Indiana State Representative Vernon Smith. He was arrested in Gary, Indiana. You know, Gary, Indiana. Gary, Indiana, you know, from The Music Man. You know, that really fun musical that makes Christians look like idiots and makes... If you're the crook, the thief, the liar is the hero. And the families who are concerned about their kids and want to protect people from being swindled, those people are the losers. It's a typical Hollywood production. And they quote the Bible only in a mocking way, of course. Anyway, Gary, Indiana is nothing like the movie, even though it was twisted, made it out to be. Today, maybe an Uzi is more likely than the Wells Fargo wagon. Hey, Bob Enyard here. Live commercial break. I want to tell you about some of our videos you might be interested in. Terry's Call. If you know a homosexual, not a Christian, you're concerned about him, you can check out Terry's Call. Homosexual called into the show, and, man, it was pretty interesting. And Terry Johnston from Knoxville, Tennessee, became a Christian, and shortly thereafter, he died from AIDS and went to be with the Lord. But what a neat video, Terry's Call. You know, so many homosexuals have told us that they've gotten saved through this show, Bob Enyard Live. And so many Christians condemn us because we're not loving toward homosexuals. I think we're way more loving than the average Christian. At least, you know, we get to pray with homos to get them saved. The ones that'll repent. You know, so many times I ask people, they come up to me and they start condemning me because we don't love homosexuals. And in fact, I don't want to say who, but one of my relatives, a reasonably close relative, did this recently and was criticizing me because I'm not loving toward homosexuals. And through my mind goes all the homosexuals I've prayed with in person, that we've gone when they're sick, that we've invited to our home and our ministry because, you know, because they're willing to listen or to repent. And so I said to this relative, it was a woman, I said, well, have you ever led a homosexual to the Lord? And she said, yes. Now, how do you respond to that? What's the next thing you say? You have a one-word response to that. You say, liar. And that's what I said, liar. I said it. I called her a liar. And, you know, you think that if you call somebody a liar, they might take offense. She took no offense whatsoever. And so we continued to talk, and I said, I want you to tell me, how did I know you were lying? And she said, well, I know a Christian who used to be a homosexual. I said, yeah, you know him. That's not what we were saying. I said, did you ever pray with a homosexual to become a Christian? Did you ever lead one to the Lord? And you lied. So she admitted she lied. How'd I know she lied? Because the people who condemn us for not loving homosexuals, they don't love them. That's the solution to our hot dog problem. 10 cents a piece, Luger 9mm. It was just brought in. Let me see. Plus P plus. Wait a minute, that's illegal. That's police round. No, that's not a plus P plus. Hey, 10 cents a piece. That'd do it. Maybe you might have need a couple of them. Well, I guess not, if you know what you're doing. But they're only 10 cents a piece. You know how many of these you can buy for the $4,300 for the hot dog cart? Man, you could end all crime in America practically just with the cost of that one hot dog cart. If you just use Luger 9mm. All right, let's go to the phones. In New York, Dan, speak your mind.
Hey, Bob.
Howdy.
A couple things. I think the way hot dogs are made today, they're probably more dangerous than drugs. They probably die from the hot dogs.
You're funny.
Than they would from the drugs.
Yeah, and then they'll get the innocent victims.
Well, you know, they're saying to substitute the hot dogs for drugs, you're saying, on the program?
Yeah.
I just tuned in. You know.
Let me make it clear, Dan. The government in Indianapolis made a grant to buy a hot dog cart so that people could give away free hot dogs near crack houses so that the dealers and the buyers would go somewhere else.
Oh, really?
That's their latest war on drugs strategy.
You know, I don't want to criticize the government, but that's par for the course.
Yes, par.
I mean, we went to New York City one time with the evangelistic team. Mm. We were the worst part of the area. And literally, drugs were being sold like hot dogs.
Right.
And we were just awed because we're from a small town.
Now, that was at least 10 years ago.
Oh, no, it was about 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, really? After
yeah.
Giuliani was in there.
Oh, well, he was probably behind it himself.
Because he's supposed to clean up the city.
Well, the sidewalks were clean.
Right.
And so really, that's par for the course.
The sidewalks were clean, the women were not, and neither were the drug dealers.
Yeah,
what a shame.
Well, that homosexual issue, you know, I think you have to tell them it is wrong, not sugarcoat it. And you guys are doing the right thing by saying that.
Thank you, but could you take a stab at the question, what percentage, just your gut feel, what percentage of girls in public high schools will have experimented with bisexuality by the time they're out?
I would say around 50%.
I would say your numbers are somewhere in the ballpark.
And you know the reason why? You know, you said Christians, and we have a Christian bookstore here in New York.
Yeah.
And a lot of Christians that we know are going to homosexuality. And I think the problem is the pulpit. The preachers need to be sometimes fire and brimstone.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
And we've had some individuals that were ministers that end up in the homosexual lifestyle, and they should know better. But I think we need fire and brimstone preachers.
Well, you know what? The church has been seduced by a few lies. One of them is that one of the lies is that we can't judge. And so if you can't judge, how could you condemn homosexuality? How could you condemn child killers, abortionists, Planned Parenthood? How could you condemn people who sell drugs to kids? You can't. How could you condemn a woman who drowns her five kids? You can't. So if you don't condemn any despicable behavior, then obviously it's going to become more acceptable, and it all has, and so we see more of it.
Well, Bob, isn't there that line where you don't condemn the sinner, or you don't condone the sin? You love the sinner but hate the sin.
Now, I'm glad you called that a line and not a verse.
Right. It's not in the Bible.
It's not in the Bible.
I was thinking, I just rode home tonight, I saw two girls holding each other's hands. And I says, oh, my God. But then when the Lord caught the girl in adultery, he didn't condemn her, but he said, go and sin no more.
No, that's because she was repentant.
Yeah, all right.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when the wicked die, is God going to let them go to heaven? If they die and they've never repented, is he going to let them go to heaven, or does
no.
he send them to hell?
He'll send them to hell.
Right.
Yes.
And so how loving is that? How loving is that to send? How about when God would open up the earth and suck the wicked down alive into hell? How loving is that? How about Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament when God killed them in the book of Acts?
Yeah.
Or King Herod, God sent worms to eat his stomach and his intestines out, and he fell right over and died.
Well, you know, wouldn't you say in the Old Testament they did not have a way of salvation? We're now in the age of grace. Our Lord said it'd be more tolerable in Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for a town, or I would say a person, that rejects the gospel. And you're talking about individuals. When's the last time a person brought a homosexual to the Lord? When's the last time a Christian brought someone to the Lord?
Yeah,
they say 95% of all the Christians never led anyone to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
And we know it's mind-boggling.
That's discouraging. But although that figure might be a little bit slanted, because you know how the Apostle Paul says, not everyone is a mouth, not everyone is a foot, not everyone is a hand.
Yeah.
So if somebody goes to a Bible-believing church where they reach out to the lost,
mm-hmm.
and that person maybe cleans the church and cuts the grass and babysits for kids so that the parents could get a couple hours to themselves. And it's other people in the church that actually do most of the evangelization. That's not inherently wrong, you know, but we shouldn't make excuses and say, well, I cut the grass, I don't have to talk to my neighbor.
Yeah.
We should all talk to our neighbors about God.
Right, but Bob, didn't the Lord, well, not the Lord, but in the book of Acts, or where they all went out and they preached the gospel. It's not numbers things, but we all have that ministry of reconciliation.
Yeah.
And not to make us, well, look, I led so much to the Lord, and make someone feel guilty. I mean, you can even pass out a track.
Right.
There's so many different ways to do it.
That's so true. If you ask God, say, Lord, help me figure out how to reach those around me.
Right. And, you know, we used to have a track rack in front of our Christian bookstore, and I'll never forget this. Hmm. A Methodist minister, he was saved, came into the store and said, I like a track rack. I said, well, the Lord gave us that idea. He said, I came to know the Lord through a track, and today he's a minister. And I said, wow, that's amazing.
Wow, that is cool.
It is. And just, you know, in closing, you know, the homosexual issue, we had a wonderful video. It was, I think, King's video on homosexuality. And we put it in the Penny Saver. You know, you're gay. You can't change, you know, and we advertised it.
Oh.
And a major radio station in Rochester got a hold of the ad, and they called us, and they were harassing us.
Hmm.
But we found out ahead of time they were going to call us. We had prayer, and halfway through the interview, as if the hand of God just turned the conversation around.
Wow.
And we had 10 minutes, not only in one program, but they rebroadcast it two other times.
Wow.
We were told, like, $30,000 worth of radio time.
I bet.
Where the gospel was out, and it was amazing how God took that little ad.
Dan.
And who knows how many came to the Lord through.
That's very exciting. Let me just tell you what happened while you were just telling that story. I just got two notes from our call screener. Someone called in. Did you hear that Keisha, who called earlier?
No.
Okay, a public school student who's stuck in a local Denver area public school, 10th grade, and would like to homeschool. And somebody just called in and said, gave a pledge of $200 for Keisha to buy homeschool products if that family starts homeschooling. And then another call from a somewhat well-known activist here in Colorado, Joe Scott, who said maybe 75% of the girls are bi-curious in the high schools that she goes to minister to. 75%, 3 out of 4. And I think the numbers are somewhere around there. You know, Christians used to say, oh, there's not 10% that are homosexuals, it's only 1%. Well, that was maybe in 1980. But now, in our high schools and colleges, forget it, among young people, there's a significant number that are homosexual or bisexual or transsexual or transspecial or something.
Mm-hmm. Well, hey, think about it, Bob. They're bombarded on TV,
right?
Papers,
right?
Politicians. And the more you hear a lie, the more you believe it's going to be true.
Yeah, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Even Nazi Germany, as long as you repeat it long enough, people will believe it.
Right. And it comes to the church and the pulpits. They should be speaking up. But unfortunately, like in 9/11, we interviewed our bookstore.
Yeah.
They thought, why did 9/11 happen? And I said, basically, because, you know, we have abortion. Homosexuality is now being, it's not considered a sin anymore. It's if it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, it was in the paper. The next day, a pastor came to my store and rebuked me. And I said, well.
Why would he do that?
Because of what I mentioned about the homosexuals. He says, I said, well, the Bible says it's an abomination. He goes, you're just reading into it. I go,
you're reading into it.
How much can I read into abomination? Now, this is a pastor and a Christian church. So I think the biggest problem is the church needs to be speaking up. And God bless you guys for what you're doing. I'd rather speak up and offend somebody, have them come to the Lord, than keep quiet and have them go to hell.
Hey, Dan, you know what he really meant to say when he said you were reading into it?
What's this, Bob?
He meant to say you were reading it. There's a difference between him and you.
You were reading it.
Hey,
right.
you're reading that Bible.
Amen, brother.
Yeah.
Well,
hey, could you plug your Christian bookstore?
Let me give you my website. When, in fact, you know, we used to go through a distributor.
Yeah.
I've been owned by Ingram, and they accidentally sent me some books condoning homosexuality. In fact, they were promoting homosexuality.
Well, you know why? Because so many of the Christian distributors and publishers are now owned by secular companies.
Yeah. We're going through a Riverside distributor in Iowa.
Good.
They are all Christians. Their motto is, we serve him, we serve you.
Good.
And they, in my website, I'll give you my website.
Yeah.
Daniel's Den.
Daniel's Den.
Right. FNC.com.
What's the SNC?
Well, see, what they do is we get a website through the Christian distributor.
Oh, I see.
And there's a wonderful distributor. Like I say, they're all Christian.
Danielsden.snc.com.
F as in Frank, N as in Nancy, C as in Charles.
Oh, F as in Frank.
Right. All righty.
There we go. Hey, Dan, thank you for calling in.
Bless you, Bob. Have a good night.
God bless you. What a neat guy. Christian bookstore. Daniel's Den. Now, how many seconds do I have before I'm totally out of time? Now, danielsden.fnc.com. Just typed, welcome to Daniel's Den online retail store. How'd you get an interview here? Hey, this, all right. Hey, you need some Christian stuff? Go to danielsdenfnc.com. It's Bob and I remind you to...